You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, it is 9:25 p.m. The Pacers game ended about 10 minutes ago, and I'm hype because the Pacers just came back to beat the Bulls 98-96. And with me to talk about this game is the lead Bulls writer for LockedOnBulls.com, Austin Hutchinson. Austin, I'm sure you are feeling not as good as me.
I feel fantastic. We're embracing this tank. It's great.
You got to embrace the tank, but what a game. I mean, I was talking with Stefan Noah yesterday, and he was telling me pretty much nothing optimistic about this Bulls team, but then they just blew the doors off of Indiana for 3.5 quarters, and you know, 19-4 run to close for the Pacers to close out a game in which they played awful and led for a total of 30 seconds on their way to a win. What were your biggest Bulls takeaways from this game in general? You know, did anyone play well? Are you upset with anything?
I guess the first thing that we probably talk about is Chris Dunn had a really nice first half. He came out of the gate shooting real well, playing really well for being the lead ball handler, and Chris Dunn kind of has these games where he is impactful in offense, and he is making the right plays, and he's not like forcing bad passes, and I really feel like he had a nice first half. And on the flip side of that, Markkanen kind of had a weak shooting night, and he also has these nights, and he had one a couple of games ago where he simply is not hitting from three. He was 1-for-6 from three. And, you know, he had the worst plus-minus of the Bulls at a negative 15. And that's partially because, you know, he took the most shots out of any Bulls player. They are feeding him the ball. He is the centralis of that offense. But if you can't hit shots late and you're just turning the ball over with stupid decisions, I remember I sat down watching the end of this game. I'm like, they're going to turn over the ball. They're going to make a dumb pass inside. They're going to drive to the basket and force a pass that isn't there. And it's just so typical Bulls of it to end like that. So those are the two big takeaways that I have. Bobby Portis played well coming off the bench. He shot 5-11 from the field. David Nwaba did it as well. But you know, I personally am not super upset about the end result. They lost. They're now 3-20. Fully embracing tank season, and I'm glad about that. But it's also a little bit disappointing to, you know, to expect a game to end, you know, with two turnovers in the last two offensive possessions, and with the inability to even give Markkanen the ball. Now, there's so many opportunities to feed Markkanen. You feed your best player whether he's hot or not, and I feel like you know Denzel Valentine taking a contested shot is not your best shot, or any of their guards for that matter. You feed Markkanen. That should be the goal.
Yeah, we'll talk a little Valentine later because he was played the most of my personal expectations. But Markkanen, like you said, you know, he did take the last shot. It was a really tough contested. It looked like his toes on the line, but tough contested three at the buzzer because Oladipo missed a free throw. And I don't know if you've seen it yet, Austin, but for those of you who didn't see it, he before his post game interview for missing a free throw, which was pretty funny. But 30 seconds before that, came down the court in transition, semi-transition, nailed the three that gave the Pacers the lead for the first time of the game. He was unstoppable down the stretch. He was 7-for-12 at one point, so he finished like 5-of-8 in the fourth quarter. But his big thing was that he was turning the ball over a ton in the first quarter. He had four turnovers in just the first quarter, but he finished in his 38 minutes with 27 points and was definitely the leader of the comeback and leader of the team. They just kept running these Miles Turner, Oladipo pick and rolls, and the Bulls are just unable to stop it. Did you like what you saw from Oladipo, Austin? Is he unstoppable from any Bulls player?
There's no one that legitimately has the athleticism to necessarily guard him. I think Dunn played well, but as you saw even at the end of the game, Dunn has these mislapses off ball where he's just so focused on getting help on a drive because, you know, the Bulls haven't been able to stop that all game. They don't have the length to stop it. And leaving guys in the perimeter wide open. So, yeah, what Oladipo has been able to do this season, regardless, has been fantastic. A high-usage scorer is never a quality high-usage scorer is something that I don't think necessarily even Pacers fans expected coming into the season seeing from Oladipo. Of course, there was hope, but nobody thought he'd be playing this well.
Yeah, it's definitely been a journey for sure, and the pick and roll plays with Turner were what really were exciting to me. Mm-hmm. They were getting killed on the glass for a lot of the game. I think they might have lost the rebounding battle. They did. The Bulls had 46, and the Pacers only had 39. But you know, they kept Sabonis in for a little longer in the fourth than they normally do. I think in a counter to that rebounding struggles.
Yeah,
and Sabonis was doing okay on the glass, but he was really unable to score. And when they brought Turner in, you know, the rebounding kind of stayed stagnant, but the offense really shot up, and that's really what led the comeback was Turner in the game. And Turner was a negative until then, and he finished plus five. So, you know, that was a really integral moment of the game. Lance, the guy you wanted in this game, in my head, his subbing was important because the team just felt like they had no energy for 90% of this game. So they would sub in Lance, and I was actually excited for once, even though I normally don't like it when he was in, but he was awful. Minus 13, 3 of 9 shooting. Definitely not his best game at all. He couldn't box out Bobby Portis to save his life in this one. Bobby Portis ate him alive on the glass, which drives me crazy. The Pacers did not box out at all. We'll probably talk about that tomorrow. Me and Adam will. But the Bulls rebounding really kept them ahead in this game. That's why the 7 rebounds gave them those extra possessions. Season or the Pacers just really struggle to stop him on the glass in this one?
I think it's for the past couple of years, it's been the Bulls' MO that they're a really, really good rebounding team. And that particularly has to do with, Robin Lopez is a fantastic rebounder. And I think that's one of his really underrated traits around the league. You kind of think of Robin Lopez, you think of a middling, adequate center, but really he's a fantastic offensive rebounder and kind of is sets the score for the entire team to be a good rebounding team. And so is Markkanen. And I think just everybody down the line is that they have depth. And it is a little bit of a surprise, in my opinion, that the Pacers didn't rebound as well because Miles Turner is a very effective rebounder. But again, he only had 7 rebounds and Lopez only had 5 rebounds. So I think they kind of canceled out each other for the majority of the beginning of the first quarter and the end of the game. But the Bulls definitely have length. At the forward and center position, with Lopez, with Portis, with Markkanen. So their ability to get rebounds doesn't surprise me. And like you said, that did give them an extra few possessions to make it a close game, especially at the end. But without the ability to keep the ball under control and hit shots when you need to at the end of the game, and create offense. It wasn't really going anywhere. The Bulls are a very hit or miss team. You know, guys like Chris Duncan have a really good first half and hit shots and look really good, not make dumb decisions. But think about that. I'm telling you, the Bulls are good if Chris Dunn can shoot.
Yeah, he actually shot pretty well today, though. I'll give him credit.
Yeah. And he was definitely a positive, but Holiday going 2 for 7 from the field, Valentin going 5 for 13. The Bulls just simply don't have proven players at the guard within the entire depth of the team that you can say, okay, go in a pick and roll with Markkanen and get a bucket. They don't have that consistently, and at some point, it's just not going to be there.
Yeah, and it wasn't frequently in this one. It was funny because I hopped on the box score thinking that Robin Lopez had like 100 rebounds in this game. It felt like he had so many more than 5 because his 3 offensive rebounds were so huge. Would come back a tiny bit. Like it kept getting like from 14 to 8 to 14 to 8, the lead in the third. And they'd get it to 8 and it would feel like they were in it. And then they'd get a stop and then Robin Lopez would get an offensive rebound. And then it happened that. It happened at least twice. So his rebounds were just so massive that it felt like he had so many more than 5 rebounds. It was demoralizing. Mm-hmm. Interesting tidbit for the Pacers that I want to talk about in this one that actually worked really well. Played a lot of the clutch. I don't know if Collison's hurt or not. This might be something you will have heard by the time this podcast is up. But Collison finished with 20 minutes. Joseph finished with 31, which I don't know. That's very rare that they more minutes, nonetheless 11 more. But he closed the game. I think that was mostly for his defense because Chris Dunn was on fire. But, Corey Joseph closed the game, and he had one huge pull-up from the elbow that was just a desperation late shot clock shot that he'd nailed in two-point range. But yeah, be on the lookout for some news about either a Darren Collison injury or something with that discussion, because that was something to watch. But Joseph really did play well in that role, and he had a 6 from the field, only 7 points, but he did his thing on D, you know, keeping Chris Dunn at bay after his huge game. Another guy who has to be talked about is Thaddeus Young after his massive game against the Knicks where he couldn't miss. He was 4 of 12. It wasn't a good Thaddeus Young game, but he was the guy who was hitting the glass more than anyone. He had the most rebounds of any post player by quite a bit. And, you know, that's why I was so frustrated with Lance, because at least Thad was boxing out Portis and Markkanen and whoever was on him. I think he was the only guy I could really see boxing out. So good to see that from Thaddeus Young. Who else did you like that you saw today for the Pacers?
I mean, Bogdanovich
played
well late. You know, he wasn't super efficient from the field, but he was a plus 14, which is second on tonight for the Pacers. And his ability to just stretch the floor is just huge for Indiana.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he kind of struggled in the first half of this one, but two huge threes in the fourth. That one from the wing just lit up the team. It was the first time they had been within 8 in the whole game, and the stadium was finally loud and rocking. So who knows how much that had to do with it. The Bulls looked pretty demoralized walking off the court, which is sad because, you know, was that their 10th loss in a row? Is that right? Or more?
I believe that is their 10th.
And I almost felt bad because they had to think they had this one won. So I honestly did not. I texted my brother at halftime and said, I still think the Pacers are going to win. I texted Adam in the middle of the third quarter. I said, I still think the Pacers are going to win. And then internally, I didn't concede that they might lose until about 5 minutes to go in the fourth. But I can't believe they found a way to come back, especially in, now I'm going to talk about this, Denzel Valentine's coming out party game. I know he was only 5 of 13 from the field, but it felt like more than that, again, like with Lopez's rebounds. Mm-hmm. 4 of 7 from 3 made him seem super effective. He was nailing those. And his 3 assists, and he was kind of creating. He was getting in the lane. And he was really beating Bojan off the dribble, who you just talked about. Is that the best Valentine's looked all year? Or has he kind of been forming into actually a competent player this year?
With the amount of touches Valentine is getting simply because the Bulls don't really have a capable lead guard, he is improving. And this is something that Gar Forman and John Paxson came out of last year's exit meetings talking about is that they wanted Valentin to take on more of a point guard role. Because at Michigan State, he was the de facto primary ball handler, bringing the ball up, initiating the offense. And he kind of, like you saw tonight, he does have a knack for finding guys within an offense. You know, he can run a pick and roll. He can five guys off the dribble, create a little bit. And when he's shooting well, he's not horrible. And you saw that tonight. He was able to work on Bogdanovich, and he had a pretty good game. Now, as far as it being the best game of the season, he's had games where he's averaged double digits about, like, maybe, like, 10 times. I think he averaged 18 against Charlotte a couple weeks ago. But tonight, I think we saw a lot of positives from him and a very good game.
Can I say my quintessential Bulls play for the whole season was second quarter. They come up in semi-transition, and they get a switch on a screen, and then Jerian Grant's dribbling on the three-point line, and he's guarded by Domantas Sabonis, and you already know which one it is.
Yep.
And Bobby Portis is being guarded by, I think it was Corey Joseph in the paint, and the Bulls announcers kept calling for a pass into the post for Portis with a guard on him. And Grant dribbles probably 4 or 5 times and takes a ridiculously long pull-up three over Sabonis and completely airballs it. And it was super funny. Jerian Grant had an awful game. Even though he was +7, he couldn't score at all. He almost got the 13 billion if it weren't for his crazy assists. But it was a pretty funny play. It made me laugh. That has to be frustrating for Bulls fans. Last guy I want to talk about is TJ Leaf, just because before the game, McMillan was talking about his rotation, actually, and how he was worried about how the 8-man rotation they've been running might tire the guys out, which is something we've actually talked about before, so go us. But it was really interesting to see that, and he said he likes to give Leaf a few minutes to try to disrupt that and get the guys some rest, even though Leaf's only been playing, you know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes a night. He only played 5 in this one, and they were horrible. He was -7. He missed his only shot pretty badly around the basket. not a ton to report for him. I just wish he could be a little more impactful on defense if he could get more than 5 minutes a game, because until JR3 comes back, this team is really lacking depth since they can't really play anyone else. You got anything else you want to say before we close out of here a little bit?
The Bulls will continue to be awful until until LaVine comes back and LaVine is able to find him off of switches and get him with mismatches down low. Because just like how you saw the play where Grant just took a pull-up three with Portis wide open the post, that's been happening all season with mismatches. The Bulls guards are not finding obvious mismatches from the pick and roll. And it's not even difficult. And that's what Hoiberg's offense is all about. So as long as the Bulls remain to have incompetent guards running the show, the Bulls will continue to lose games.
Yeah, I feel bad. I hope the Bulls can find something. David Nwaba looked pretty good today. I know he's been hurt, so hopefully he can be okay, especially because his contract is non-guaranteed. I hope those guys always do well. But we got to give Austin a congratulations on here really quick for becoming the lead writer for LockedOnBulls.com as recently as yesterday or 2 days ago. I can't remember.
Yes, it was yesterday. Thank you.
Yesterday. Yeah. So big time stuff. You gotta promote yourself now and tell everyone where they can follow you and do all your work.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at @AE_Hutchinson. And yeah, you'll see lots of Bulls coverage on LockedOnBulls.com in the next couple of weeks and going forward.
Another thing I should let you plug is that Indiana does not have a baseball team, and there are a lot of Cubs fans in Indiana. So you want to talk about the baseball thing really quick, and then we'll be done here?
For sure. I also run a Chicago Cubs website called Wrigley Rapport, RAPPORT. And that's it's a Cubs site, and we cover the Cubs daily with news, analysis, in-game live tweets. Also have that going. You can follow that on Twitter at Wrigley Rapport.
Yeah, one of the very few baseball accounts that I actually follow that is not Phillies related. So big time.
Wow, impressive.
I know. but yeah, as always, I can be followed at TEastNBA. The podcast is at Locked On Pacers. Be on the lookout for more stuff from Indiana sports coverage and our wonderful team of Pacers writers. We hope everyone enjoyed this game as much as I did, and not as much as Austin did, I'm sure. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow with some Cavs preview, which is now going to be awesome since the Cavs are on a huge win streak coming to Indy, and a little bit of Denver preview as well with me and Adam. So be on the lookout for that, and have a great Thursday.